Jamie Locker, live from Winnipeg, Manitoba. There's only one thing I'm disappointed with Winnipeg, Manitoba.
What's that?
This week.
What?
One thing. That may be two things.
Okay.
One of them is they're doing a lot of the Grey Cup. There's a big Grey Cup concert thing going on.
Yeah.
At the MTS Bell Center, so that means the Jets are out of town. I usually, when the Grey Cup weeks, I usually like going to an NHL
Brent
game.
We were talking about that our six-hour drive here.
You probably had a lot to talk about. The other thing is that means there wasn't – wouldn't it have been awesome if the San Jose Sharks had a road game this week in Winnipeg?
Could have hung through.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing! We're guys more together. They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
He's our NHL analyst, Drew Romanda, who's also...
What?
Oh, sorry. We're good. I was getting some back feed from my microphone, but we're good. Aren't you also disappointed you didn't get to see me? Is there a Chipotle in Winnipeg we could have gone to ahead of a game?
You know as well as I do what's in Winnipeg.
Panda Express?
Nothing is in Winnipeg. Nothing.
That's not true.
I apologize to Ryan Reeves, who was one of the big boys, but I noticed that he got a house in Vegas. So.
That is not true.
Sound like
there's
Bob
nothing for Drew Romanda in Winnipeg.
You sound like Bob Marjanovic of the BC Lions.
Oh. His hatred for this city is unparalleled.
I've never heard anybody hate a city more. No, Drew, he trumps yours.
Really?
Oh, wow. My God. Yeah, Bob would just, I think he celebrated when the Lions lost the West Final so he didn't have to come to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
We had him on one day, and Winnipeg came up, and we lost 6 minutes. He just went off.
Yeah. But they're good hosts so far. The hotel.
Certainly.
Locker and I got to spin a wheel. Have you ever had this, Drew? You got to spin a wheel at the front desk of a hotel to win a prize? We got drinks and chips and chocolate bars because we spun the wheel. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
it's the greatest hotel I've ever been to.
To
heck with the bidet in Montreal. I got free treats because I won the right spin the wheel at the front desk today.
Yeah, we got executive prize packs.
Really? But with the bidet in Montreal, you can eat those treats and then make sure you're nice and clean afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Drew, let's get into the star of the show yesterday at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Winning the gold medal in Vancouver in 2010 was truly electric. I remember leaving the arena, and I looked to my left, and I saw a naked woman in the back of a motorcycle waving a Canadian flag. I looked to my pregnant wife and I said, I am so proud to be Canadian. Hey, Dunks. And for that,
Dunks.
Thanks, Iggy and Sid.
Yeah, Duncan Keith also went into the Hall of Fame last night, was a member of that team. But, Drew, what was it like to watch Jumbo or Dumbo go into Hockey Hall of Fame?
First of all, I told you guys, he invited a lot of us from and a lot of the people in the background. He named a few of them, like Rosemary Tibaldi, who runs the office, and he brought Mike Aldrich, and a lot of the players came. Doug Murray came from Sweden, and Joe Pavelski was there. Patty Marleau was there. Brian Clough was there. He brought broadcasters, and so we were at there last night. It was a really kind of a surreal evening. The reception takes place down in the actual hall, and then you go upstairs to where the reception, to where they, you saw that him and all the other inductees get brought in officially. But only certain people, only the hoi polloi can go upstairs and sit in the auditorium. The rest of us peons, we stay downstairs. But the rest of the peons downstairs, we got all of the food and the drinks, and you just wander around and you watch the stuff on the big screen, right? So that was interesting. But then, you know, what's surreal is you walk in to the downstairs area and Sir Savard goes by you, and then you turn around, you see Yari Curry and Esa Tikkanen, and then you see, you know, Paul Coffey, and then you see Billy Smith, and you see all these guys, and you're going, wow. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Every coach and GM that you can think of, and it was really interesting. And then you see, you know, all the media are there, and everybody wants to talk about Celebrini, and everybody wants to talk to you about Thornton. What's Thornton like? Was he? And then I said, you'll see what he's like. What you're going to see with Joe is what you see with Joe. He is real, 100% real. Then we had a bet about when he'd start crying, and I said, as soon as he mentions his mom and dad. But I didn't know as soon as Duncan Keith mentioned him that he was going to start crying in the second speech. So it was a very interesting night. And for Joe, a guy that came in, and I can't think of another player who's come onto a team and changed that franchise completely for the better. And Joe did that, you know, playing for San Jose. So. It was very, very interesting evening, but the weather sucked, and I'm glad I'm back. I'm back in God's country today, by the way.
You're in Saskatoon today?
Yeah. I came with, you know what? I had, because the Minnesota game tonight against the Sharks is ESPN Plus. We don't do that game. And
you should have jumped in the car with Locker in Britain.
Yeah. You know what? I thought jumping in the car with Davis and Donovan and going to Boston Pizza tonight was a better idea.
Yeah, that was a better idea.
Yeah. Made the right choice.
So, Joe, can someone explain Joe's style?
No.
Okay. Because
you were lucky he was wearing clothes.
I saw that outfit, and I was like, why am I okay with that? Like, no one pulls that off. Yeah.
Because he's Jumbo. He's cool. It's his own style. It's his own thing.
Was he a lot, like, I'm trying to remember. Was he doing that kind of stuff? No. He was suit and tie guy.
He's suit and tie baby face guy. Yeah, but. He is the reason now that players in the National Hockey League have to have a shirt on when they're talking to the media. He's 100%.
Pants, actually, please, first.
Pants as well. Pants as well.
I have heard stories.
He's like those 75, 80-year-old guys you see in a gym locker who just don't care anymore, like, you know, in gyms, in the locker room, that they just, you know, yep, you're just going to stand there naked talking to me about hockey, are you? Okay.
And why are you using the hairdryer for that area? Like,
well, I know.
Or the hand dryer. Like, why are you doing that?
Well, for the hand dryer, that's a little bit of a flexibility issue. Anyway.
Foot up on the wall. Like, why? What are you doing? Have you ever thought?
We've lost
Jamie.
Jamie's
can't respond here. I've seen that, by the way, and it scarred me. By the way, just a quick question about
looking in the mirror.
The possibility of and why he hasn't gotten into the media, because when you talk about guys that transition from hockey into broadcasting, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, the guys that are able to do it are the guys that are able to be themselves, whether they're in a locker room or whether they're in front of a camera. And he just seems like the kind of guy, and his speech last night kind of proved it, where he's just himself. He's just authentic. And he could probably, and his name comes up. I've heard his name come up more than a couple of times on a hockey podcast about somebody that could potentially pull off a pretty decent podcast or, you know, a studio job in the NHL. Is that something that you, based on your knowledge of who he is, that he would ever even remotely consider?
Nope, not one time. The greatest thing one of the funniest things he ever said to me was, after when he retired, and I texted him and said, you know, congrats, and I didn't, and way to go, great job, wonderful career, talk to you when you get to the Hall. And he said, great thing, Drew, I don't have to do interviews anymore. No, it's not what he wants to do. He is he's on the ice every day. Like, he's at the rink, he's at Sharks ice every day. He's on or he's on every day, just with the guys. He is I I really believe that one day you'll see. Well, he works for the Sharks now. He got an official title. I'm not sure where it is, but
he just hung around until they put him on the payroll. Well, again.
He was just there all the time. So Mike Grisha, well, hire the freaking guy. He's Joe. And so
that's what happened with me or Rolko.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think the Sharks keep bringing me back? It's like, oh, well, Remenda's available. Let's bring him back again. Same type of thing. You know, just keep hanging around like a bad rash. They can't get rid of me. No, but for Jumbo, he wants to be still. He doesn't want to be a broadcaster. You know what they think of broadcasters. You know, just another friggin' observer. That's all we are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All righty. This is our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, here on the Green Zone. To heck with the clock. I can't see the clock.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in a different place.
So, you know he has no beer in his room, Drew. Like, I just got here. And I'm celiac. I don't drink beer.
So disappointing.
You just haven't found the whiskey stash yet, unfortunately for you. Drew Remenda.
Yeah.
Okay, I know Nathan McKinnon went on a heater, and he is now the leading scorer in the National Hockey League. But
just play the Oilers.
Connor Bedard took a huge jump over the last week and a half. What has clicked, changed, or was it just a hot week for number 97? Or 97, 98.
98. I think his natural talent just continues to evolve and get better. We've talked about this since last year when everybody was jumping on him, and they were right to jump. Well, not right to jump on him, but certainly had a right to criticize his game because I thought his game was a 100-foot game, and he wasn't. And he was. You could tell he had frustration last year. Well, this year his team's a little bit better, and they've got some goaltending. They got a better chance to win every night. He is understanding that you've got to play with pace away from the puck as with the puck, but he also doesn't go away from his strengths, which is shooting the puck, finding that offensive zone space, and firing that puck, and getting to the net. You watch like some of the plays that he's made. He's making them at the net now. He's not staying in the perimeter. He's not being on the outside, except when he uses that fantastic shot. And his natural talent is starting to really show. He's starting to understand the pace of the game. Yeah. And his brain is catching up to his game, or vice versa. And this isn't a surprise, guys. We talked about this. We knew that he was going to be just fine, but everybody was criticizing him because that's just what you do to a second-year guy.
But he's a very talented kid. Yeah.
He's an extremely talented player, and I think the other thing, guys, is the fact that he has said, I will do anything to be on that Olympic team. So, obviously,
do you think he will not, like, motivated.
I think that's what this is.
Do you
I think he saw Macklin stealing his spot.
I don't know, but I just do you think he's done enough? I just don't think so.
Take Macklin right now.
Well, I'd take Macklin too, but the question now is, can both of them be on the team?
Yes, both of them can be on that team. But
you're going to have some injuries. You're going to have a Mike Stone that's not going to make it. Yeah.
How many
Mark Stone
do you need? The key is like when Duncan Keith talked about the 2010 Olympic team and Joe Thornton being on that team. He played with Patty Marleau and Danny Heatley on the line, and they were checkers. They were a fourth line. Doug Armstrong actually was the assistant GM that year, and he saw me in the year they were picking the team. He saw me and he said, hey, let me ask you a question. It was in St. Louis. I said, yeah. And he goes, can Joe and Patty and Heatley check? I said, yeah, damn right they can. I said, they'll do anything to be on that team. And he went,
that's the point. That's what it is. Check your ego.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And I think Connor is, as I said, uber motivated to be on that team. Like he said, he is. He'd do anything to be on that team, and it would be a fantastic experience, great chance to win a gold medal, and maybe Celebrini and Bedard can be on that team because those guys. Well, one guy's a pure goal scorer. The other guy's got a better 200-foot game, but they're both young and talented, and maybe you're even building for next year.
Oh, yeah.
for the
2030 Olympic team.
Yeah.
They're going to be 25 years old and just probably phenomenal. But great. Drew, we'll leave you there. I know you got a salt and pepper oven baked wings coming up, and what, Pep Easy Cheese? Is that on the
Pep Easy Cheese and Davis chicken finger and fries, chicken fingers and fries, chicken strips and fries, I guess.
Already.
And you don't even have to bring us a menu. I already know we're good.
if, and I imagine they probably pretty well bring it out 5 minutes after you walk in the door without even asking.
Yeah, they're really good. They
it's because you're not drinking. They want you to hold that seat down.
And then we'll watch some hockey and be happy.
All righty. Nice to have you back in Saskatchewan. I'm sure the boys are happy, too.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got off the plane and saw my boys.
All righty, Drew. We'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, boys. Bye.
That is our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, here on the Green Zone. A lot more coming up, including Huskies head coach Scott Flory, as we're broadcasting live from Winnipeg, the home of the 112th Grey Cup. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Do you think back then Celebrini and Connor Bedard will be on the Olympic team? Locker?
Well, the problem with picking them is,
who do you leave
off? You're gonna pick a player. You want offense, but you also need your guys that are gonna do things like kill penalties and right?
Yep.
And you're gonna have to take a look at what you need and who else you have on the team. And if you have a bunch of pure goal scorers, you're gonna leave one of those guys off.
They only
right?
got a month left, really. To
shine. I think they've already made their decision.
Absolutely, I think so. Jamie Locker with you here live from Winnipeg, of course, the home of the 112th Grey Cup. The Saskatchewan Roughriders taking on the Montreal Alouettes. Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter, will be up after 5 o'clock to tell you about the coaches' news conference, what the Riders had to say today on a Tuesday ahead of their first practice tomorrow, media day tomorrow, something our next guest is very familiar with from his time in the Canadian Football League. It's not like Montreal was allergic to Grey Cup appearances. Scott Flory joining us, the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Scott, how's it going today?
Good, Jimmy. How are you?
Very well. I need to know, Scott. And this, I'm going to start with the toughest question of the week for Scott Flory.
Oh, boy.
It's the Montreal Alouettes against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You were an Alouette.
Take some time with
career.
This one, Scott. Take some time.
You're an Alouette for your career, but you're a Saskatchewan boy with your organization that gets a lot of support from the Saskatchewan Roughriders Foundation.
Heart of football.
Scott, who are you cheering for in the 112th Grey Cup?
I thought that this might come up. You know. Listen, I support them both. I think that, listen, I obviously
let him off the hook. No, I'm going to tell you, if there's a guy in the toughest spot right now, it's Scott Flory with this game because of the Rough Riders Foundation and Cindy Fuchs and all the Rough Riders do for the Huskies and raising money. But he's won championships with the Montreal Alouettes. Well, I do not envy you, Scott. At all.
And the other thing is, too, he knows we have fun with audio, too, so we're recording this.
No, honestly, like, obviously, as a player, I spent 15 years there. I was out of training camp, and I was still good friends with a lot of people there and played with Jason Moss and Anthony Calvillo and Luc Bourdieu-Jourdain, and Danny Machocha was one of my coaches. So, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, I played 15 years out there. You know, on the other side of the coin, though, man, the level of respect that I have for Craig Reynolds, Jeremy O'Day, Corey Mason, just friendship with those men as well is, and you're right, what that foundation does is amazing. Cindy Fuchs is top class, top shelf. Like, it means so much to our program. So they are both world-class organizations, no doubt about it. And, yeah, maybe it'll end in a tie. Hey, you never know.
That won't happen. We know that.
That won't happen. I know.
Just don't end with a 13th man on the field, please. Although you didn't mind that one back in the day.
Fair. The Owls. I mean, with your time there, was there one thing that you can, I don't know, put up above the rest, put up on a pedestal, Scott, that you brought with you to the Huskies? To the work you do with the Huskies?
You know, I'll say this is that, like, I was very lucky as a University of Saskatchewan athlete. I played in 3 Vanier Cups. We were in the conference final, all that kind of stuff. Like, there was just the standard of excellence while I was a player here. And then when I ended up in Montreal, not that it necessarily started that way, but we developed that in the early 2000s with the arrival of Don Matthews in 2002 and carried that through with Mark Trestman during my time there. There was just a standard of excellence. I mean, I had the very fortunate to play in 8 Grey Cups. And it was just that
wow.
operation and standard of excellence and how we performed and how we operated. Man, I try to do that on whatever, you know, on the scale that we can here and operate in the same level.
Scott Fleury, head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Mitchell Bowl in Saskatoon this coming weekend against Queens, of course, one step away from another visit to the Vanier Cup. You had a good crew of guys for a little while who had a lot of experience, especially a couple of years ago when you made like 3 and 5 years to national semifinals. A little fewer now, but how important are any of the vets that were around in 2022 for this one 3 years later?
Yeah, I think that they can definitely draw on that experience, for sure. I think that, you know, in the last, 6 or 8 years since 2018, the only year we haven't played in the conference final was 2023. We lost in the first round of the playoffs. So there's been a core group. It's changed. It's evolved. That's the life of college athletes and college sports. But we've been able to keep the standards the same. There is a group of guys here that were around in 21 and 22, some of our fourth and fifth year athletes, so they can draw on some of that experience of playing in bowl games and playing in a Vanier Cup. We're not there yet. I mean, we got a tough task ahead of us with Queens on this Saturday, but man, I think if you can come out of Canada West, I think I want to stress that just how good this conference is. I mean, Alberta was 1-7, but they aren't a 1-7 football team in any other conference. Trust me, like they are. Well coached, they're physical. I mean, you just look at that game on Saturday between us and Regina, nothing but the utmost respect. The level of physicality and speed in that football game was crazy. And it's just that's college football. It is so much fun.
I'm wondering if you've been able to somehow quantify the number of years you've lost off of your life with the close games. Yeah. Like, you know, that has to be something you think about, right? Because just. I watched that game. I'm like, what? How do you live through that?
I don't check the heart rate monitor on my watch. No, it's honest to God, I swear to God, I didn't have a gray hair until I started coaching. But it's because you're not only in control of yourself, but you have to, you know, try to manage the operation. Whereas a player, right, you just make sure you take care of you and there's the team and all that stuff. But you've got your scope is a lot smaller. So as a coach, yeah, there's just a lot that goes into it. But I mean, that game was just, I mean, those are two, you know, that's one for the ages, in my opinion. It's just a great game, and those are two great teams, and somebody just had to come up with more points, and we were the fortunate ones.
Daniel Weeb, I thought he might have been able to make the Riders the way he looked in camp for Saskatchewan this year, coming out of course, his draft year. But how special has his rise been, and how important has he been as a smaller receiver? But, man, he's such a playmaker. How important will he be this weekend?
Yeah, no, Daniel's, he is a special young man. I mean, I go back a year and a half ago about the East-West, and they were looking for some extra receivers, and they're like, and he wasn't on the list. I'm like, man, I got these two kids with Daniel Weeb and Rhett Favre. I'm like, trust me, they'll be just fine. And they're the two best receivers out there. And they weren't even like highly regarded or whatever. Like it's kind of crazy just how much he's grown in the last 2 years. You know, the experience there with the Riders. Obviously, I'm close and talk with Jeremy O'Day, and not only just Daniel, but Seth Hundeby. Those two are just, I mean, those are gems. So Rider fans are going to be cheering for those two young men for a long time.
We had a chance to chat with Seth, and I was just blown away by that kid's poise. And the decision he made, Scott, to put his education first, did he come to you for any advice on that?
Oh, 100%. We're in the same, I mean, he's better than me, but he's in my shoes just 25 years later. I had to do the same thing back in when I got drafted, as I made the commitment I had to come back, because engineering you can't do online. I got my engineering degree, and he was in the same boat where he's like, I got to do school in the fall. I'm like, Seth, this is what the system is for. You go to camp, you get some exposure, you get some experience, you play your fifth year, you have a phenomenal year, hopefully, you know, meet all your goals and expectations, and then you go and start your pro career with your engineering degree. And that's what the system is for. And yeah, I know it, like the guys want to go, they want to go and they want to go make the team and they want to play pro ball. I get that, but trust me, he's still going to have a long career, whether it started in 2025 or 2026.
Of course, Mitchell Bowl coming up as we talk to Scott Flory, Huskies coach. They take on Queens. I was looking back. I think it was 09 the last time we saw Queens get through Ontario. How much do you know about this football team that's coming in this weekend?
I watched a lot of film over the last 3 or 4 days here. So they're well coached. You know, got to know their coach a little bit. He's a structured guy, so they're going to be disciplined. They don't take many penalties. They don't take many chances. They're not like a high-risk kind of team. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be, you know, physical. They've got to do some travel, some planes, trains, and automobiles, and a little bit to get here. But I know they're going to be ready. I know their coach will have them ready. So, yeah, Saturday at 2 o'clock, it's going to be a great game, I think. I think that we match up well. Both teams earn the right to be in this game, and I don't doubt it'll be a great game.
It's interesting, and this is sort of in the same vein as the Seth conversation. I met my wife after she finished up graduating from Queens, and I met one of her friends who played on the football team, and I was like, I remember having a conversation with him, and he was a really, really smart guy and graduated at the top of their class. He had a business degree in honors and everything like this. He had been to Japan to teach and everything like he went on, you know, scholastically and put the football aside. But I'm like, this doesn't match up. My idea of right. football player doesn't match up to being at the top of your class. But that is a bit of a misnomer. I mean, in this sport in particular, I think the perception is just a bunch of dumb guys out on the field is just not the case, Scott.
Not even close, to be honest with you. Not even close. I look at our best players. I mean, a guy like Seth Underby, who's in his engineering, you know, going to graduate into his engineering degree as an academic All-Canadian. I mean, just take a look at, you know, obviously a kid near and dear to my heart is a Regina Loboldus kid, and Riker Frank, who's got a cumulative average in university of over 92%. In the College of Engineering, no less. It's remarkable. So, no, these kids are, I mean, they got full-time job on top of a full-time job on top of a full-time job in school and football and working out and being a student athlete. No, I think if you dive into the stories of these young men, they are special. And that's not just my team. That's every team across Canada.
Scott, we were talking earlier about, and sorry to bring it back to the Grey Cup week, but about how complicated this week is in the with all the events, but for the players trying to, can you really put your, like, tell the listeners how just off this week is for the prep for a football team who are so regimented?
And when do you
so
find time
scheduled?
To party?
Yeah.
No, you don't. So I always go back and I say the same thing to my team as what Don Matthews would always say. Don never had many rules, but when we got to Grey Cup week, he's like, just give me a week and I'll give you memories for the rest of your life. So now as a coach, I can only, you know, I know what those guys go through a little bit on a different scale with prepping for a Vanier Cup on the road and all that kind of stuff. But you, as a player, man, it's chaos. You're in and out of a hotel room. You're not ever settled. The meeting room isn't the same. You're in ballrooms. You're trying to get it done. You're trying to manage all the media requests. You're trying to manage the movement and the, you don't have your family there. So your pregame routine, things like that are just totally different. The practice week is all messed up. Like everything about it is just, then obviously there's the fans that start rolling in on Wednesday and Thursday, and then it turns into, you know, you got the Spirit of Edmonton, you got Ryderville cooking. I'm sure those two still exist. So you got lured into some of that stuff, and but you got to stay focused. You got to understand that, you know, Sunday at 5 o'clock kickoff or whenever it is, that's the most important thing. And if you can stay focused and the veteran leadership, if they can keep the locker room focused on that, whoever does that the best is going to have the best opportunity to win on Sunday.
Or like in 2010, they put you in a crappy hotel. I remember that storyline in 2010 in Edmonton.
Hey. Whatever works, you know. At the end of it, you can look at life different ways, right? So,
Barger was on a cart, caught for the Jays.
Yeah. Man, unbelievable.
You complain, or you make the best of it and you do it. Yeah.
There you go, Scott. Awesome. Well, best of luck Saturday. 0 degrees as Queens comes in for the Mitchell Bowl. Locker and I are hosting the pancake breakfast in Regina for Vanier Cup on the Friday. I hope you and the Huskies are there with us.
I hope so too, and I appreciate all you guys' support here of college athletics. We got some amazing young men here, so Have fun there in the Grey Cup week and everything. And but yeah, I absolutely look forward to hopefully seeing you there on the following Friday.
We also don't have time to party.
Yeah, that is no time for that. Eh?
Yeah, Scott's never seen a media guy wandering the streets during a Grey Cup week. All right, Scott, take care.
Stumbling.
Thanks for your time. That is Scott Flory, the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies here on the Green Zone. A lot more coming from Winnipeg, home of the 112th Grey Cup. Our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, will be stopping in as well. We'll see and hear some highlights from the coach's news conference earlier as well. Thanks for tuning in on this Tuesday. We are here all week through to our game day. Myself, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson will be here on Sunday with the Green Zone pre- and post-game show from the 112th Grey Cup. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker live from Winnipeg.
Sun's going down. Absolutely. Beautiful day here in Winnipeg. Weather's supposed to be really, really nice for the Grey Cup. We got a
weather high. Looks like it's going to be pretty decent all week, actually.
Yeah,
for Winnipeg.
Did you pack like crazy warm clothes for?
No,
because you're up in the booth, right? Like I wasn't sure, so I brought like snow pants and.
I also looked at the forecast and went, oh,
well, I
it's
thought
it'd be nothing worse than -4. Yeah, as a low. I mean, like, Friday is going to be 9 degrees. I hope you're coming to Winnipeg if you made it.
I've been here long. I've been in this country long enough to know that that can change, and then all of a sudden it's like you get a blizzard and it's -25.
It's fine. We're just going to be at the RBC Convention Center at Ryderville all weekend anyways, hanging out with Ryder fans.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't need to go outside. Just jump in an Uber, head back to the hotel. There you go. Pitter-patter.
Locker on the loose, though. I got to be out. I got to be in the elements. I got to be mucking around with the...
Elements is the RBC Convention Center downtown Winnipeg for Ryderville. Those are the element. Those are the only elements you need to be in this week.
No, I'm getting out there with the real people.
Okay. Portage and Maine?
Yeah.
Get a Go Riders Go chant going in downtown Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Do you think you can do it?
I wonder.
You should try every day this week to get see. I bet you by Friday you'll get it going because a lot more Saskatchewanians will be here. But you might get booed tomorrow, and I'm here for that. Jamie and Locker with you.
Let's go, Riders!
Live from Winnipeg.
This must just be tearing them up.
They finally 5 years straight.
5 years straight.
And the one they're hosting is the one they don't make it to. And Saskatchewan is the team that makes it.
And Saskatchewan, and they've got to be hospitable. Yeah. To Riders Nation.